Well, Ken, first of all, is into death metal, which sucks uniformly. All right. You know, if you're gonna come at me with anything, like,
I really like to hear. I do like to hear people who are really into rock, like, talk about what their different likes and dislikes for, like.
well, I heard you guys fucking defending Master P. I was like, get the fuck out of here, all right? There was no limit to how shit their album cover. See, that's my tactic, right? If someone goes, "Oh, I'm offended," I just go, "Right, double down time." You know, if someone goes, "That was sexist," I'm going, "Oh, was it? Well, try this one on."
Yeah. So the thing is, I think that you could be racist to black people and still have a career. If you're racist to, and I mean, this is racist in itself, the statement I'm about to say.
Oh, God, I know what you're going to say.
So I think I'm using your tactic against you. But I think that I'm not ready, but I do believe that if you're an anti-Semite, then your career is over. Like, you can't come back from that at all, right? There's nothing that anyone can do. You cannot have any kind of public showing if you're an anti-Semite. If Donald Trump had said what he said about Mexico, about Jerusalem.
Well, Israel.
Or Israel. I said Jerusalem. Again,
believe Jerusalem is in.
Like you said, I'm American. I don't fucking know.
You should fucking know. You just give them $4 billion a year.
I'm not personally giving it to him.
Your tax money goes to Israel.
I knew everywhere my tax money went, I'd be Canadian or something. I'd be well informed or something. If he had said what he said about the people of Jewish faith, or because that is something also that I don't understand, like. I've never understood this, right? Like, people call themselves Jews, right?
Uh-huh.
Which is a faith and not a race, which I never really understood. If he had said that about Jews, if he said all these Jews are coming over here and they're buying our properties and they're buying our buildings and they're, and they're taking our money and we're sending it over there to Jerusalem, and they're raping and pillaging our country. He wouldn't even have made it off the stage. Right?
Yeah, well, look, don't ask me why, because I don't know why. There is a difference. Look, if I can use, I'll say this about the Hogan thing.
Okay.
Okay, and this will be kind of my full stop on the whole thing, right? Me and you were both Hulk Hogan fans in some respect when we were children, right?
Okay.
And we grew up and, maybe we talked about Hogan and that was one of the things that made us even more friends than we were.
Okay.
No matter how we're wrong, can't take that away.
Yes.
So that's what you kind of got to remember. I mean, Hulk Hogan is a piece of shit. Okay, and he has been for quite a while. That's why we call him Cunt Hogan, And but no matter what he does, like, look, if you were a kid and you enjoyed his matches and all that, don't feel guilty about it, right? It's the same, like, people enjoy Roman Polanski's movies still. They're very you know.
But every time you watch one of them, you got to think, this guy, I'm watching a rapist work.
Oh, no, you're racist, not rapist. That's Cosby. You said rapist.
No, Roman Polanski, he
raped. Oh, yeah, sorry. I was getting confused.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was about to say.
Like, oh, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, people, you ambushed by the artist sometimes because you might watch a film or watch a wrestling match or listen to a song or something like that that you enjoy, and you could be ignorant of the artists themselves, and then you find out, like, I mean, for instance, the Klaus Kinski, who's in tons of great movies, and then wrote a book and said that he was having sex with his daughter. You know what I mean? So you can be there going, oh, man, not fistful of dollars, for a few dollars more, great. Mm. Nosferatu remake, great. Fitzcarraldo, great. Oh, no, you know? Like, so you can be ambushed by this, but you shouldn't feel guilty or, you know, you yourself as a fan shouldn't carry this around, is what I'm saying.
That is, you know? those are some well-spoken words, John. I can always come to you to be the voice of reason when it comes to cultural bombshells.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, we don't have to carry this with us as former Hulkamaniac, shall we say.
Yeah, a reformed Hulkamaniac now.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I'm glad. I was in a fucking Walmart with Wiggly last year, and I nearly bought a Hulkamania t-shirt, and I'm just like, fucking, that was $10.
All right, so this is now that you say that, this is the thing I have to ask you. Was the Walmart everything you dreamed? Was this your first Walmart experience?
Yes, I couldn't see the back of it. Like, that was the thing that blew my mind. Like, a friend of mine was supposed to be visiting America, like, a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the thing. He couldn't wait to do it. So I was like, oh, man, I want to go to a Walmart and buy, like, an American. And that's what I was looking for. I was looking for American flag Zubaz pants.
Oh, my God. They got him somewhere. You mean the guy, like, what was the name of that movie? Napoleon Dynamite, right?
Like Lex Luger. Remember when Lex Luger?
Yeah, Luger had him. Remember when Lex had the bus?
Lex Express.
Yeah, the Lex Express, and he was going across the country. Like, he had his own bus!
Yeah, he body slammed Yokozuna on the deck of the USS Intrepid. I remember way too much about Lex Luger's run.
No, it's all right. And now, every time I see clips of him, it's on, like, a 500 Club or something like that. Like, he's on, like, a religious thing, and he looks real skinny. Did he have... He had cancer or something like that?
Had some kind of bad... He killed Miss Elizabeth.
Miss Elizabeth. I don't know. Miss Elizabeth might have been... you know, God rest the dead. She may have been my first crush. Like, because I didn't want anything to happen to Miss Elizabeth. I was like Macho Man when Miss Elizabeth and I think it was when Zeus, every time Zeus got around Miss Elizabeth, that's how I felt, the way Hulk Hogan felt. Oh, that's a horror. He's got a Z in his fro.
But, Morgan.
Pretty white, angelic. Miss Elizabeth with that. Miss Elizabeth, like, is why I'm into MILF porn.
Miss Elizabeth, right, was the woman you wanted to marry.
Mm-hmm.
But Sherry was the woman you wanted to bang. <You know>? Like, we're talking about Macho, like, Sherry just looks like she'd break your fucking hips, you know? With tricks you'd never heard of.
Like, she'd be smacking you in the face, like the girl from Californication.
There's like, I'm just saying, right? Fucking two nights in with the Macho King, Fucking, she was just there going, well, I'm throwing the back door to her.
Sherry. I think this will be sensational.
Oh, God. Poor Sherry.
God.
Sherry was there, man, when fucking Booker T fucking dropped the line on Hulk.
Oh, she was there. She was there. Oh, you know what? I think I got the intro for this. I think I have the intro for this. Thank you, John. Thank you for bringing that up, because I think I have the intro for this. You are the best, Johnny. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I think I'm just going to edit this and put this whole thing up. I don't think I'm even going to cut this for an intro. I'm just going to edit this, and this is going to be the first conversation with Johnny Capcom. Is going to be just like the last time. You were the first person to I don't think you weren't the first guest, but you were the first person to have his own solo 2 a.m. show about you.
I remember that.
That was extreme, and I think it may have been the first time I ever talked to you. I think that might have been the first time I ever talked to you. Like,
I don't know when you was not that was the first time we talked. Was it not on the Super Council? Remember the?
No, I don't think I think that was before that. I think the Super Council thing, which I want to bring something up too about that Super Council thing. Do you? I don't know if you remember but I remember talking about having a Battlefield game with Star Wars in it. You probably don't remember that, but I remember that, damn it. And I remember saying, I wish they would do like a Battlefield game where instead of soldiers, they use Star Wars characters, right? Or G.I.
Okay.
characters. And guess what they're doing now? They're doing a Battlefront is a Star Wars game that is a Battlefield game. Thank you, me.
I remember you talking about Two Human.
You know who won't let me live Two Human down? Emilio. Because I talked him into buying it. And he, like, took it back, like, the next day after he bought it. Well, I think that is, I think we've exhausted the, Hulk Hogan racist, thing. I'm happy that I did get to talk to you finally. It's been some years, I think, since I've talked to you.
No, remember, like, we were hanging out last year?
Oh, we were. I didn't remember that. Johnny Capcom comes to America, and I totally forget. I did. You came to America. I took you to my favorite bar.
Yeah, man.
We drank. Had some girl hitting on us. I don't know who that girl was.
I believe her name was Isis.
What Isis? Her name was Isis.
No, I think her name was like Alexis or something, and Kyle just goes, "So Isis, yeah."
Yeah. What are we? You might have had KFC, right? And did y'all?
No, we had some burgers. One of your friends recommended some burgers to us.
Yeah. And ate those burgers. You had Funyuns for the first time. How was the Funyuns?
They were fucking shitty onion rings. Like, what do you expect?
I'm gonna leave this. We're gonna two more notes, and then we're gonna get. I'm gonna let you get out of here because I know it's probably like 1 o'clock in the morning over there in Ireland, right?
It's just gone midnight, but I don't have anything to do tomorrow, so I'm good.
Oh, that's awesome, John. Don't tell me that, John. We'll party the night away. One thing is, I want you to tell me, since you did come to America. And be, what do you think something that is done better in America than Ireland? And what is something that is in Ireland that is done way better? I mean, you guys are like the salt of the earth type of people. So other than the people being so rude here in New York, what are some takeaways from America that that you maybe didn't realize before you got here?
Well, let me think. Right. Flags.
Okay.
I've never seen... like, you know, like, I remember we were in that train station.
Uh-huh.
And we were standing under, like, a giant American flag. I think I turned to you and goes, man, you know what? I wouldn't know where I was. You know, only thanks to all these flags, I'd never figure out the mirror.
And then we went to the United Nations, and there's like 200 flags there.
Yeah, man, it's a lot of fucking flags. Like, but it's the, like, how do I put this? Everything is just fucking bigger. You know, like, I just
you were in New York. You were in, you know.
No, but I'm talking everywhere.
Okay. Right?
Like, it seems like when you want to celebrate something, you do it. And you do it with, you look after all the corners, as they say, you know. And I appreciate to itself in some respects, you know. I don't know, it's like, I think you yourself and others that I know unfairly put yourselves and your country down sometimes. I found America to be a very welcoming place.
Uh huh.
Everybody was really nice and fucking, you know, nobody was really, like, nobody was dumb.
Okay.
Nobody asked me, like, stupid questions, like, so do you live, how's Bono? You know? And all that kind of stuff, you know? And, you know, anytime anyone wanted to talk to me about Ireland, they seemed to be genuinely interested in it. That was, you know, it was nice. I never once felt like I wasn't welcome. And that was great, you know?
Awesome.
One thing that sucked.
Okay.
Is the food. Your food stinks, okay? And, I'll say this. We were in Philadelphia and we had some chicken wings.
Okay.
And within an hour of eating them, I shit myself. All right? And I'll say this, Ralph. I've been eating fried chicken since day one.
So you, just like the Macho Man, are down with the black people. Got it!
I guess? What, is that a thing?
That's an American cultural thing.
Alright, it's like how, is it like how, like, Oriental isn't racist over here?
Is,
like, it's a local thing.
Really? Like, they still use it over there?
Oh, it's not, oh man, there are fucking Chinese restaurants owned by Chinese people called the Oriental Hulos here.
Well, I think it's the same with the N-word type of thing. I think they could call each other Oriental. It's just racist for you to call them Oriental.
They don't mind it over here.
Oh, they don't mind? Just, oh, that's cool.
No, they like it. It's fine, like, you know, it's just, that's like, you know, to them, they're just like, oh, that's just the name that Europeans have for
oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't think I would want to be known for rugs. Like, Oriental is a rug. It's not a people.
But, no, what was I saying? I don't know, well, yeah, as I said, I am a chicken guy, right? Like, I love all types of chicken. Chicken casserole, as I said, fried chicken of any kind. I'll take shitty McDonald's chicken nuggets.
Okay.
Right? I'm a fucking chicken dude. Okay.
All right, dude. I am going to send you your NAACP, my friend invite. Cause we get to invite one friend from another race into.
You can hook up with that woman who thinks she's black with the
The funny thing is you wouldn't it'd be funny if, like, y'all both got in and that was the only person in there that you did not like. You're like, man, I can't stand that girl.
If I was in the NAACP, I would be like, sorry, lads, maybe people have asked this question before. You know where I'm going, right? Like, I realize brand awareness and all that, okay? You don't want to go changing the name. I'm just saying, maybe calling yourselves colored people isn't exactly the best way forward in 2015.
Well, NAABP, sounds like we've got some kind of like branding with an oil company. So
I don't know. How about call yourselves the I don't know fucking something.
I can hear the wheels turning in your head here. So I'm gonna try to help you out. All right. I'm gonna try to move on from the subject before and Hulk Hogan something that you cannot read. The funny thing would be like the rumors going around and it was like hey, do you hear the Irish dude wants us to change our name?
Okay, I'm just saying it's a poor choice of words. I wouldn't if I was setting up a fucking an Irish crowd, right? Uh-huh. I wouldn't call it, you know, Drunkard Baddies Incorporated. It's just, you know, to me, it's just.
Time, I think at the time when it was set up, being a colored person, I still do think that it was it was something that people were called, and it wasn't like it wasn't an offensive thing at the time because that's what even people of color called themselves. You know, being a person of color or being a colored person was it wasn't a derogatory statement, right? It only became really it's been flushed out culturally because people don't we don't identify with being colored because I guess some people figured out that, you know, no one wants to be associated with a box of crayons, you know what I mean? Like,
well, it's not even that, it's just it implies that it implies almost like that, like a variant.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, to me, anyway, I mean, I don't know, it doesn't make sense because it implies that there is a basis, like there's an original, shall we say, like, white people are the default, and then these people are different.
Oh, yeah, well.
That's kind of the way my brain works with it. I'm just there going, no, we're all just fucking humans, man.
Yeah. But I don't think, John, that is like a wish thing. Like, we all wished that the world worked like that. We all wished but it wasn't, at the time, the advancement of colored people, there was nobody advocating for that, right? That wasn't a thing. So to have a branch to advocate for those people who did not have a voice and that could come together as a community and say that we are a group that want to advance our race because our race is being held back as colored people. And, you know, it rolls off the tongue. NAACP.
Oh, it does. It sounds good as an acronym.
Yeah, NAACP. Nobody really says it all the way out.
I'll be honest with you, and this is a source of shame for me, right? Okay. I learned what those letters stood for by listening to a New Jack promo. That's terrible.
No, that's cool, dude. You're from Ireland, dude. There's no your ignorance on the subject is valid because I can understand you're from another country that did not have something like that in your country at the time. You know what you could do now, John. Now that we have the Doozable Lady up in Washington, you could start your own NAACP in Ireland.
But what would we do? Like, I mean,
I don't know. Like,
we have to find something for the letters to mean different, I suppose. Like, you know,
I don't know. Like, you could, I don't know, get all mention of Hulk Hogan stricken from the Irish records or something? I don't know.
Well, he's not a real Irish person, Ralph. You do realize Hogan is a fake name. say about the food. Mm-hmm. Or to get back to what we were originally
all
talking
right, back
about.
Back to what we were originally talking about.
I've been eating the worst chicken since, like, Ralph, you should have seen the crap I was eating in college. Right?
Okay.
Like, the one place I went to, right, was accused on multiple occasions, right, of killing seagulls and cooking them and selling it as chicken.
Oh my god!
Right? And I never once shit myself, even though I ate there all the time. I took a plate of chicken wings in fucking Philadelphia, and I remember I was standing outside a comic shop with Keith, and I was like, "Hold up there, man, just move on ahead. I'm gonna fart." And that's a bad one. So, you know. Look, I like to be a good dude sometimes. I'm not gonna have to push my fucking stink on you. Right?
See, and that is something different. That is a cultural difference between Ireland and American. American dude would have just let it rip, and you would just have to figure it out, right? Everybody
well,
would just
I told,
figure it out. Irish, that's why you guys are the salt of the earth, man. Irish will point out that, hey, man, I got a wallop coming. I just want to let y'all guys know this.
I sent him on down the road a few steps, and then I was like, oh, we have to go home right now. He's like, what? I was like, I just shit myself. And I'm not kidding, man, right? We went back to the bar that we were being served in, and the girl behind the bar was a friend of Keith's, and this gorgeous, fucking, really polite young woman,
mm-hmm.
Right? I really hope she didn't have to clean that bathroom after me. Because I filled the bowl, and it was blocked.
Oh man!
And I was.
Maybe it was just that. Maybe it was just that establishment in Philadelphia. Philadelphia's fucked up anyway, dude. So.
Oh, man, Philly's cool. It's like a big fucking. I don't know, I really enjoyed it. It was weird. It was the places we were anyway were really cool and
Okay.
And, yeah, we went to the ECW arena because I always wanted to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there going, oh, yeah, Joey Styles wasn't lying when he said this place is a shithole. I enjoyed Philadelphia. It was really cool. I enjoyed everywhere, I'll be honest with you. I remember when I went up to visit Matt.
Uh-huh.
He was like, oh, you've come from New York and now you're here in fucking podunk fucking Massachusetts. Like, mm-hmm. You know. And they're going, Ralph, or not Ralph, Matt, I've never actually seen a Dunkin' Donuts before. Ralph and Kyle didn't bring me to one.
No, we were trying to, you know, we were being the ultimate, like, tour guide, like, trying to show you all the, you know, like, you're in New York City, you need to go and, you know, see all the big cultural places, and then go to my local bar that I have had many a time I've walked out of there super sloppy, trying to hail a cab, and a lot of Hulk Hogan's driving cabs in New York City.
This is what breaks my heart, man, right? And I'm gonna put this invitation out to you right now.
Okay.
Right? If you do feel like you're not welcome in your own city at any time, right? You just gotta plan right, okay?
Okay.
Come to Ireland, alright? We can get married, we can do that now.
Yes!
Get you your citizenship, get you the free healthcare, right?
Oh, that'd be great.
You can move in here, myself and Sean have a spare room in the place.
That would be where I would start my NAACP headquarters, in between your room and Sean's room. it would be me and... It'd be like two other chapter members trying to figure out what we could do in Ireland for the advancement of colored people.
Well, again, people in Ireland would go, ah, oh, lads, don't use the word color. That's just not on.
We'd be, my God. I just think that would be a funny skit, starting the NAACP. in Ireland, just me and my room writing down, like, we need more black. I don't even know, like, what is it to succeed to be in
well, you'd have to give Paul McGrath that anyway.
I
told you about.
No, he's a football player, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So
get him on board first.
What'd you say?
Get him on board first and everything will fall into place.
He'd probably be like, hey man, look at me. It's already working. We don't need you. I'm like, you're only coming up here to stir up trouble. I'm like, no. I just think that Ireland needs more black faces. So the little black Irish kids know that they can be something here in Ireland.
Well, that is a weird difference. Like, you know the way, and I noticed this, like, just culturally by watching America through television and movies and stuff, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's all about where your ancestors are from, mm-hmm. you know? And, you know, I'm this American, I'm that American, I'm whatever, all right? Like, there's a lot of kids now from who would be the kids of African families
mm-hmm.
Were born here in Ireland, all right?
Okay.
And they're not going, oh, I'm African Irish. They're going, I'm from fucking Galway, all right? And that's the end of it.
Well, I think everybody has their, here in America, everybody has their cultural pride. And I think that that is one difference, and I try to point this out to people. Sometimes they don't understand me when I say that. It's different between being African and being black, right?
Black, oh, yeah.
Yeah, so the way I try to explain it to people, and I say, and sometimes a lot of people look at me strangely, and, you know, some people get it. Well, I say that black people are a people without a country to, and, like, America is their country, right? Like,
you, oh, yeah, well, that, I mean, that's the thing, like, it's...
America is their country because that is where their origins start, because they, a lot of them, when people came over from slave ships, they were cut off from their African heritage. So if you moved here from Ireland and you had kids and generation after generation of kids, they could still come back to you and then go and find their family over in Ireland. A lot of black people can't do that because they are a product of American society and American culture is their culture, is their heritage. Like, what the people did in America is their culture. Spanish people have their Spanish heritage. Puerto Ricans have their Puerto Rican heritage. Black people, well, don't.
I know what you're talking about. Like, even if, and this is going to be fun, kids.
Right, yeah, but when, if you were like, can you go back to talking about how racist Hulk Hogan is, please?
No, but, like, if you go back and look at the origins of Atlantic slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, there is a popular opinion, right, that says that, you know, large slaver squads came from Europe and just rounded up all these black people and sold them in America.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that didn't happen, because it did.
Mm-hmm.
But the majority of what happened with slavery was there was such a large slavery culture in Africa at the time.
Mm-hmm.
That when Dutch and Spanish slavers went down to Africa, the reason they got so many slaves out of Africa is because they could buy them so cheaply off the local, like, lords, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And
So you come on my show and you're going to blame Africa for slavery? Thank you, Johnny. No wonder I'm talking to a guy from Ireland.
What I'm saying is, right, it's a more common, right? Those people,
definitely.
Like the people you're talking about there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying, like, they feel displaced,
mm-hmm.
okay? I mean, think about it. Yes, on the one hand, yeah, I mean, obviously, slavery is one of the most horrific episodes in human history, and sadly, one that's not closed yet. There are a lot of people still...
in slavery.
Yeah, and
but it's not a sanctioned thing, right? As far as
no.
Like, every, it's not a sanctioned thing. Like, there was a time when slavery what's a sanctioned thing in our culture, in the well, world's culture, that they thought was okay. And then a lot of them thought that it was okay because of religious beliefs, when yeah. some of them still do, right?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you can think about, like, to me, it gets, like, I empathize on triple levels, knowing, doing a lot of research about, can you imagine, like, yeah, some people were taken, like, by raiders, mm-hmm. okay? But, and that's, like, there's, you know, there's nowhere for them to go back to, like you were saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then on top of that, the possibility that, you know, they, but before they even left Africa, they were considered a slave while they were there, and they were just sold as a product. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's fucking harsh.
Yeah, that's even,
you know,
and that's something that, you know, people who are descendants of slaves, they also have to, you know, that is something that they have to wrestle with. But it doesn't feel good to wrestle with that. You know what feels good? To blame fucking white people for everything. It feels
good. Throw it on me, Ralph.
It feels good in my soul when I wake up in the morning. You know?
Here's the thing, right? There was slavery. Okay. And what the Europeans did was horrific because they basically, brutality and all that was a part of it. But the fact that they used it economically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They can be that calculating mm-hmm. to exploit your fellow man in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And to... It's fucking disgusting. It's one of those things that, I'll be honest with you, like, it bothers me to think about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it bothers me that people don't care more about it.
No.
And...
It is something that I try not to think about, right? Because you try to not to think about it, because the more you think about it, the angrier you get, and then it is an open scar on our world, on our culture, on our genetics as humans. And every time you think about it, and every time you bring up the subject, you feel like you should know your history. You also feel like you're just picking at scabs most of the time, because the only silver lining is that you can come away from it and say, hey, as a race of people, it is something that we have tried our best to overcome.
Oh, you're dropping, man.
I said, as a race of people, it is something that we have tried our best to overcome. It's something that we have tried to get past. We've condemned it all the way through. And even though in some parts of the world there is still slavery, those aren't parts of the not all of them, like the more economically well off parts of the world that still have slavery, we're okay with that, because that's the way the U.S. kind of works, right?
Gosh,
it is, like, it's just true. Like, if you're economically well off, like, Dubai can do whatever they want, right? But, you know, but like our president say, and I'm not backing him just because he's a black president. Most of the time I am, but I'm not backing him this time. What he says is that, you know, even though, you know, we may work with these countries, every time he goes, he brings up the fact that he's stressing that people that these cultures need to do a better job of human rights and women's rights and stuff like that. And that is where I think the human condition is turning, where people are starting to see that it is better to have people who have rights and have the freedoms that everyone else does. And it's not good to put people down. It feels better when you uplift everybody. And when people start getting that feeling that they're uplifting people, when that becomes in our genetics, when we evolve into beings like that, and when I see people like that, that's why I'm not a big proponent of religions, but I love nuns. I love anybody.
Oh, man, I've seen plenty of Spanish porn. I love nuns, too.
Stop it! I'm trying to make a point, Johnny. I'm trying to make a point.
Sorry, go ahead.
I like anybody that goes out and makes an ultimate sacrifice in their life for the betterment of to help people, you know. And I think that is one thing that I do take away from Christianity. And that is something else that I do take away from Islam and stuff. Just the whole generosity and to help my fellow man, and the charity part of it. That is something that I feel good about religion. Now, all that other like weird secular bullshit, take it or leave it. But
yeah,
charity stuff is something that I really bring that really makes me feel good as a person with two eyes, two ears, a mouth and a nose, and that can talk and walk upright type of person, you know.
The thing is with like you were just talking about all that there, and it's we do like I think people don't realize how far humans have come sometimes as well. I mean, it's easy to get brought down into the toilet of society by people like Hulk Hogan, you yeah. know. But like the photo, and it should be Wim, right? And Obama is a complicated man.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody understands him, but he's a woman. But sorry, it just
Tammy Wynette's turning in her grave.
But
I hope she's not dead, Tammy Wynette.
But, I don't know, but what was that? The one said, like, he's a complicated dude,
uh-huh.
right? Like, to deal with politically, especially in the world stage and all the rest, right?
Yeah.
But he's got a very complicated job,
uh-huh.
okay?
Uh-huh.
But there's a very, like, there's a photo of him that should be way more famous than uh-huh. it is, right? And there was this place in North Africa that was, like, the depot for international Atlantic slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And it's horrific. Like, this place... I don't believe in ghosts or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But this place is just fucking haunted by the fucking inhumanity of its design. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's this... They called it... I think they called it the door to nowhere. Where it was
yeah.
just like this one door you were led down and you get on the ship and that's it, you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's him standing, looking out that door, like, off to one side,
mm-hmm.
as they're going, like, yeah, there's a, life is complicated, alright, every part of life is complicated, and history is especially complicated, and I mean, like, nothing is, we all remember these things, you know, being what they were in the broad sense,
yeah.
you know,
yeah,
and if we were to remember one thing about that guy's presidency in the broad sense is, the ups and downs, fucking dipshit Donald Trump asking for his birth cert and all the other nonsense, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that... I think that should be... Photos should be more famous because when you look at America's history,
mm-hmm.
that should be a footnote. That should be a big chapter point right there.
Yeah.
You know? Yes.
Yeah.
200 years ago, I mean, a guy like him, he wouldn't have had fucking human rights.
He wouldn't have had shoes.
Yeah, that day, he was the fucking president.
And of the United States.
Yeah, and he was back in Africa going, yeah, what are you going to do about it? Because, you know, let's we forget, all right? He's half Irish as well. So what he did was, like any Irish man would do, he went back to his enemy's house and went, yeah, I don't see you talking now.
Isn't that... Johnny is why we love the Irish. That is why the Irish get so much love. We have a St. Patty's Day parade in the middle of New York City to not only to celebrate Irish culture but to celebrate American culture. And I think when people look back on this time, and even though it was a turbulent time, I think that just talking about Obama and I'm going to talk about Obama in a sense that he's never had the pressure that any other president has ever had in the history of presidents ever. Even all the way back to, you know, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln. Like, he doesn't have that same, like, super threat that those guys had, because all those guys could be touched, right? Any of those founding fathers could be touched, which means they could have been hurt or they could have been killed. But you got to think about it. He was the first black president of the United States of America. Mm-hmm. You have to think about the weight that that comes with, the implied weight, the stereotypes, the weight on one hand where people that there's a half of the people in the world are looking at you to fix all of their problems. To some people, you're a savior. To some people, you're a godsend. You are the first African American president, and you have to keep those expectations high while still doing your job and making sure that the country doesn't fall apart. Like, you have to service so many people, and you can't let anybody else down. You can't let people down, because wrong or rightly, people are going to look at you and you're going to be the example for the next time another African-American, a viable African-American, is running. And you're going, and they're going to compare you to them. And you have to be this basket of hope for a race, right? For a race of people, not a country, a race. And the stress that that entails, and still being able to do the job with dignity and not divulge into these, and still be practical about it, right? You can say one thing about Obama. He may have done these things good, or he may have done this thing wrong, but I've never heard Obama speak and it not be a practical, seem like a practical solution to whatever problem that was in his face, right? And he never had any of those, I hate to compare him to this guy because he was such a fuck up, but he never had, like, I don't think he's ever had any of those Bush moments.
Oh, fuck's sake.
Right?
Sorry.
he's never had any of those moments where you're just like, huh? Right? Like,
I'll tell you this, all right? I remember watching, I really don't mean to cut you off.
Oh, right? go ahead.
But I remember watching Obama's inauguration with my then-girlfriend back in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And she just turns to me and she goes, "Jeez, he's hot." She goes, "Isn't it fucking great that Americans have a handsome fucking articulate president for the first time in years?" You know? And she's like, at least that's it. That was the point. She was just joking with me, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But she said, like, at least that's it, you know? At least there's a professional man in charge now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Someone who, even if you disagree with him, at least you can fucking respect the sentence he put together.
Right?
That, you know what I mean? And that's important, mm-hmm. You know?
And we just had like a midterm elections, I think it was last year or the year before that, where there was a time when things were in flux and the Obamacare thing hadn't really taken off yet. And all the Democratic people that were running for office were kind of trying to shy away from Obama because everything wasn't kind of going as he planned, right? And they shied away from the president. And like almost all of them lost, right? All of them lost their thing. And then like the new year rolls around and the economy jumps off, the gas drops, they're trying to defeat these ISIS guys. The stock market starts to jump over. People are starting to get jobs again. Everything, and Obama, the gay marriage goes through. The Supreme Court gives him his fast track to whatever, which I think is kind of shady. The trade thing, like everything, like works out for him, right? In like 6 months later,
yeah.
And it just shows you that like you need people want to have something that you stick to that doesn't that isn't fake. And I don't think Obama has ever come off fake. And I think that is something that you can say about his presidency, whether you agree with his presidency or not. Whatever he tried to do, it always seemed like, other than this trade agreement thing, it always seemed like he was trying to do something charitable for people, to try to help people. One of the biggest things he did was when he said he was for gay marriage and equality. Even if it was a political thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it was a political thing, it was the right thing to do. I think sometimes it doesn't matter what gets you to do the right thing, right? As long as it gets you to do the right thing. So
yeah, it's like you could tell it was the only positive reaction our government has gotten.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They were like, hey, we're going to do the gay marriage thing, right? And we were like, yeah, cool. And then for like an afternoon, we were happy to see them on television. And then the next day, it was back to, hey, fuck you, Andy Kenny, you prick.
You know? I've never asked you about this. Is Ireland politics? What I do like is sometimes I look up sometimes like local Irish board meetings or whatever your parliament meetings, not the parliament per se, but like a local board where people get up and get to like, you know, share their feelings about certain aspects. That's what I like about European politics, that they'll just have like regular people, like kind of like you'll never see like a regular person in the Senate arguing for a bill or anything like that. Like you have to be a senator and stuff like that. But in the Europeans with the parliament and stuff like that, like sometimes you'll have like normal people, even if they are elected officials, they'll talk about something local that happened. They'll be like, hey, it's taking a long time for the paramedics to get to this specific street, right? Like, yeah. Can you do something? Like, can the prime minister of the country do something to help this specific street open up?
My guy politically, is a man called Ming Flanagan.
Okay, that sounds like an awesome name. He must be awesome.
He had dreadlocks in the 90s and got a vicious case of head lice.
Oh, wow.
So when he shaved his head, he ended up with Ming the Merciless-style hair, and he just kept it because he thought it was funny.
Okay.
He was also on hookup for weed in Galway for about 10 years.
Okay.
And fucking didn't care if you knew it.
Okay. All right.
And the dude is like a major advocate for the legalization of marijuana and for mm-hmm. all this other stuff. And
yeah, it'll be legal everywhere in like 10 years. Like,
yeah,
it'll be illegal everywhere. So
he was awesome though, because he was there going, you know what? All these people are keeping it banned, and they haven't made an informed decision because none of them ever done it.
Mm-hmm.
So he just grew a load and sent like fucking plants and shit out to the fucking all the members of Parliament.
Oh wow.
He got arrested for drug trafficking and went to jail, and then got it, came out, and became the mayor of his county. Then became a TD, and now represents Ireland in the European Parliament. So,
that is awesome! That is awesome. You would never, that dude wouldn't have sniffed political, any kind of political accolades here in America. Never even snipped it. You have to be so sweet, you clean. And that's what's so awesome. What I think is so awesome about this whole Donald Trump running. Not Donald Trump the man, right? Donald Trump the man is a despicable person, right?
He's
a despicable person, right? I don't know him personally, but socially, I think that he's a despicable person. But what's so awesome about him is that he is the first presidential candidate next to, like, David Duke, who is thriving off of his political incorrectness, right?
Yeah.
And the people who are supporting him, the funny thing about it is that the people who are supporting him, why he's number one in the polls, is they don't understand that he is unelectable as a president, right? As the president of the United States that has to get so many states to vote for you, he is unelectable. Do you know how many, like, usually it comes down to Ohio and Florida, right?
Uh-huh.
You have to either get Ohio or Florida or both, right? He's not going to get Florida. Because you know how many Latino people live in Florida?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Right? He may not even get Texas. Because Texas is, half of Texas is Mexico. He may not even get Texas. So he's unelectable as a president. So the funny thing is, his, you know, ascendance to the top of the, like, the whole Republican thing, mm-hmm. is counter to what they really need to try to do. And that's why people always joke about Americans, because we think that we are serving our own self-interest when most of the times we are being blinded.
Can I just make an observation from the outside?
All right, go ahead.
Ireland, okay, the reason we're able to have guys like Mink, and I do fucking love Mink, so I don't agree with him on everything,
uh-huh.
but the fact that he went to Parliament in his own clothes he made himself, you know, and he had long hair and a beard, looked like he had a few beers the night before,
uh-huh.
and then still got up and schooled the fucking the Prime Minister for the Taoiseach, is what we call him, but, like,
uh-huh.
all right. Like, still get in there and school guy. Had time to do that.
Uh-huh.
Love. I love the man. Not necessarily. I don't necessarily love all of his politics.
Hey, but, I've seen him before.
But, wait.
Yeah, I've seen him before. It's his name. Wait, what's his? Okay, his name is Luke Ming Flanagan, right? Flanagan,
yeah.
Right? Yes, yeah. I have. I think I may have posted a video of him up, and I think I may have posted it on your Facebook page, because I've seen him at the Parliament talking, right?
Yeah.
And they kept trying to disrupt him.
Yeah, and he just won't give in.
And he won't stop talking. Yeah, I've seen. Yeah, I know. That he is. I think he's my favorite Irish politician too. But
the great thing is, all right, and guys like him,
mm-hmm.
right? Claire Daly's another one, is that there's, you can, it's such a small country,
okay,
right, that a guy like Ming can compete with the big parties,
mm-hmm.
because all he has to do to get in is to win over his local county, and the county's not very big,
yeah,
you know what I mean, all you gotta do is just do your thing in your area,
mm-hmm.
so, you know, it's able to, whereas, and I remember, like, looking at America from the sky,
mm-hmm.
you know, on a plane. I'm not a Kryptonian, but I remember looking at it going, fuck me, this place is huge.
Yeah. Like, you know?
And I was there going, no wonder there's only two parties. How the fuck else are you supposed to rein all of this shit in? You know, no wonder there was a civil war. How could you not have two competing cultures in a place so huge? You know what I mean?
And you know what's crazy? And I looked at it this way too, because once you realize how big places are, you wonder how they, like, you. America is super big compared to other countries, maybe other than, like, Russia or, like, Africa.
But even Russia's Africa's not a country, sir.
I mean, sorry. Africa's a continent, but it's
but, like, Russia. Like, I'd say 80% of Russia is uninhabited.
Yeah, okay. You know?
Whereas a good chunk of America is inhabited.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. But if you look at continents that big with that amount of people, right? And but then you look at like Great Britain, and you look at it, you need a magnifying glass to see the UK, right? You have to look so hard. You're like, that's the once you finally see Great Britain, you're like, that's Great Britain.
Yep.
Those are the people we were having a problem with. Like, we fought a war against that country?
And the thing about the Brits back then, though, is, like, they were very conscious of the fact that their country was that size.
Yeah.
And because of that, they had an amazing navy because they were seafaring because they were an island.
Mm-hmm.
And they also weren't exactly rich in natural resources.
Yeah, well, obviously.
So they'd run out and fucking take over everywhere else, including Ireland. And it was, yeah, they were not exactly.
They're not this big country that you would think would, you know, have colonized half of the world. But you look at them and you're like, no wonder they're. You know, like, I study politics. I'm not really big into them, but I study politics and the politics of all over the world. And so I was watching a lot of the, elections, last year with,
in fucking England. That was
David Cameron and what's the guy's name? Millibrand. And all that, and I was just so, the one thing I do understand with, what's the difference between, American politics and the UK politics and the politics of the European Union and everything all together is that when you hear those people talk, whether they're talking to you, whether they're, you know, being bull-faced liars or whether they're being politicians or whatever, what I get from my sense, and it may just be the accents, because those English and Irish and Scottish accents, they are so earnest when you hear them, right? Like,
yeah,
well,
that's why it's easy to lie in them.
That's so earnest. And when I, you know, I hear the people talking, and I know, it always feels like people are talking from a place where they're trying to help their people, right? And they're trying to better their constituencies, the best they can, you know? And this whole fight with the EU and everything, could you explain that to me a little bit better?
Like, God, I'm speaking from a position of somewhat ignorance here on this, but
I just don't. Okay, go ahead.
Basically what it is that, well, Greece has a lot of problems, right?
I know that the EU was just set up so they wouldn't, there'd be not another world war. Like, basically, that's
the
why...
EU, yeah. The EU was basically a trade partnership when it began, and it was, look, it makes sense. How many fucking, like, the not another world war, but on top of that, I can say this as a European,
mm-hmm.
and as... we were killing each other for thousands of years. Irish people in particular would go and fight in wars that had nothing to do with them, just for the fun. Like, and that's not a fucking...
Double ICP. That's a
genius. It was just like, oh, what are the French and the fucking Russians having a war? Sure, is there any jobs going? You know? Cool, grand, I'll go over and kill a few whoever's on the other side. I don't know.